Okay, you got tone those down. What I'm going to talk to you about is eternally significant today. Not that they aren't all that way, but I believe that either everything has meaning or nothing has meaning in terms of our lives. I mean, either God's involved with everything or nothing, and even the little stuff of life. So I want to pray for this message, and I want to pray that each of us gets to hear what we're supposed to hear from it. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would make me better than I am, that you would speak to us all, that you would use the words that I speak and quicken our hearts to our own significance in this world and what you want to use us for. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the second in a series I'm doing on fundamentals of Christian life. This is the prayer section. And I think we'll have one more on prayer. They're going to move to what is worship and all that, and then we'll move on past there. But people talk about their prayer life. Their prayer life is either good or bad, but we need to change our entire thought patterns here towards prayer and our life of prayer. So I want to talk about your life of prayer and my life of prayer today. The attitude that we need to discover is that we don't have a prayer life, but our life is to be a prayer. As far as I'm concerned, I don't have a prayer life. My prayer life is non-existence. My life is a prayer. The word intercession and its different forms is an interesting word that is used in the Bible. The basic definition of the word intercession in both the Hebrew and the Old Testament, the Greek and the New Testament, is to light upon by chance. That is the essential definition of the word intercession in both the Hebrew and the Greek, to happen upon by chance. That tells me that a pattern of prayer for others goes something like this. Part of what we are to be is a person who is involved in a life of intercession towards others, and as we walk each day, there are instances and situations where we come across things that we need to be openly involved in prayer. We need to be in prayer for these things that we happen upon by chance. So I want to talk about your life being a prayer. And it has to do with the word intercession as it occurs in the Old Testament. Intercession occurs in Job chapter 36, verse 32. I'd like for us to read it together. You got four scriptures here. This is the first one. Here we go. He covers his hands with the lightning and commands it to strike the mark. He covers his hands with lightning and he commands it to strike the mark. Now, the picture that is in Hebrew here is a picture of storm clouds with lightning flashing, and it speaks about God covering his hands with lightning, and he commands it to strike the mark. And the scripture is talking about God giving the lightning a command, a direction, a purpose to strike the mark. Now, this would be meaningless verse except for the fact that where it says that he gives them a command that they strike the mark, the verb that is used there for striking the mark is the word that is used for intercession, to intercede. It's the Hebrew word pagah. And it says that God is giving them a charge that they strike the mark. You might say, well, Jack, that kind of makes sense because the basic definition of the word intercede is to happen upon by accident or to light upon by chance. And I suppose there's nothing in the world that we can think of that is a better picture of happening upon by chance than lightning. It doesn't seem to have any direction. It strikes randomly. Matter of fact, we sort of think of life like that. We're trained in school to think of life that way. Did you know that? We are taught that some things just happen for no particular reason. Kind of like Forrest Gump said, life is a box of chocolates, and you never know what you're going to get. Now, this word pagah, intercede, to happen upon by chance, that is used in Job 36, 32. It says he covers his hands with lightning and commands it to strike the mark. has tremendous eternal significance. Now, you have to realize that this is a poetic passage in Job, and it's the first of the poetic books, you might say. But let me develop this thought with you that your life is a prayer. And thinking practically now, let's look at Psalm 18, verse 1. Here we go. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. So in Psalm 18, 14, it clearly says that God's arrows are like lightning, or his lightning is like arrows. Now, that doesn't mean that God is looking for people to shoot down or to kill or hurt, maim, or injure, but in the poetic use of the term that God's arrows, he uses lightning like arrows. What are the arrows of God that are like lightning? Well, before we decide what the arrows are, let's look at the scripture in Psalm 127, verses 4 and 5, and let's read it together. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Psalm 127 says that a man with children is like a person who has a quiver full of arrows. And like a warrior or a hunter, he is seeking conquest, triumph, and he has all the ammunition he needs. Now stay with me. I want you to get a handle on this, and so stay with me. God covers his hands with lightning, which the scripture says are like arrows, which the scripture also says are essentially the same as lightning, and arrows are the same in the poetic frame of reference in the Hebrew language and poetry. And still speaking like this, poetically, these arrows are like children. And something begins to come into focus here, because these are little gems that are in the context of the Old Testament. And God puts things in the Old Testament like that to help us seek things out. Now remember that God is covering his hands with the lightning, and he's giving it a charge. And that's a commandment, a purpose, a mission. And that is what? Pagah. That's the word for intercession. That God charges that lightning, which is like an arrow, which can be equated as one of his children or as his children, so that that lightning will intercede and hit the mark. That it strikes on target. And we're told that intercession is made possible by the help of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. I want you to follow this, because there's a string of dots here we're connecting. I am not making this up either. It's there in the Old and the New Testament, so stay with me here. Okay, here's the Lord God covering his hands with his arrows. These lightning-like arrows, which he says are like his children, sons and daughters, and God has his hands covered with you and me. In fact, it even says that. Read with me Isaiah 49:16. Behold, I have graven you on the palms of my hands. Now think about this. It says in Isaiah that my name is engraved on his hands. Yours too, if you are a believer in Jesus as your Savior and you're in that process of making him Lord of your life. To be a child of God, you have to accept Jesus as your Savior and begin that process of making him Lord. That makes you a child of God, not just a creation. Psalm 18 says that he covers his hands with these arrows, and the Lord is like a mighty man, a victorious warrior, and he takes these arrows and he draws them from his quiver, and he sees a situation where the only way that he can really work on earth is through his children, the body of Christ. That's why we see the resurrected Jesus. I don't have it printed, but you can look it up for yourself. Jesus as the Lamb of God who goes forth as a horseman with a bow, and that's in Revelation 6. He has willed that he will confine his activity to prayer and his children. And so the Lord draws one of his arrows out. Here's one, this guy named Jack. I'm going to make Jack by my spirit. And for 27 years, he molds me and puts me together, and he prepares me for what he's going to use me for. Then he fires me off. And I hid in Madisonville, Kentucky, at the First Presbyterian Church. A random shot? No, not likely. God says, you take care of that situation. You help advance and establish the kingdom of heaven on earth in those people down there. Now, how does he awaken Jack? How does he alert Jack to pray? Well, how does he inform Jack that his life is a prayer and he is being shot into a particular situation? Well, it's by the Holy Spirit that Jack is quickened to awareness of his charge, his mission, his purpose, his destiny, and the only way that God can alert Jack to pray is if I am sensitive to the fact that I need to be available at all times. That is, pray constantly. That means my life is a prayer. I don't have a prayer life. My life is a prayer. Constant availability. Watching with all prayer and intercession and prayer and supplication by the Spirit, the help of the Holy Spirit, so that the Lord will give us signals and may pray now and be a prayer in this particular situation. Praying constantly is not the Lord saying you need to be always on your knees with a constant stream of words. The Lord is saying praying constantly is that you are constantly available to be a prayer in the life of people. Have you ever had somebody in your life who showed up and you know that that person was an answered prayer? Have you ever been told that by somebody else? You're an answered prayer to my life? For 23 years, Jack is down in Kentucky. And God, in 1998, God reached down and he pulled the arrow that was one of his children named Jack, and he fired him off again, and he lands right here in Decatur, Illinois. And he says, you take care of this situation, you take care of this circumstance. He also told me to take care of my parents because they were 86 at the time. And so my life became a prayer for the church that I came to here, but also my parents. We are to be alerted by the signs of the Holy Spirit that he gives. He says, you pray for that, or you intercede in that situation or that person's life. And the Father, by the work of the Holy Spirit, is drawing an arrow from his quiver, like a man who has a large number of children, a warrior, and he says, a mighty man with a quiver full of arrows, and those arrows are like God's lightning, and he covers his hands with the lightning, and he gives a commandment, a commission, a purpose, so that it strikes the mark where he wants it to work on earth. Now, I don't know if you're beginning to see this picture or not. Do you have the picture in your mind that God's lightning is like arrows that he fires who are like his children, and they're fired off with pagah to intercede in situations and lives, to be a living prayer in people's lives? I want you to know for certainty that if you are a child of God, you are a follower of Jesus, you are saved by his grace, and you're in that process of him being Lord of your life is a prayer. Now, let me say a few things about our response points, the places where we live this out. There are times that we think that a situation or a meeting is just a chance happening. Or, you know, it kind of goes like, do you hear about this strange thing that happened the other day? Oh, it won't ever happen again. I mean, it's just like lightning. It doesn't strike twice in the same place. We've even got a cliche for it, which is just an accidental happening. When I was out, we were on vacation, we were doing family things, and we went up to Virginia to see Bernice folks, where she grew up anyway, and her people. And we went to see her aunt, who's 93 years old, and she's in not a nursing home, but assisted living. And it's a huge campus. There must be hundreds and hundreds of people on this thing. And it goes all the way from apartments to assisted living to nursing home, etc. And she's 93, and she's in good shape, and so she's in assisted living. And we went to see her, and we talked to her for several hours. And as she was getting ready to go to dinner, we walk out of the room, and here's this guy coming out of the room right next to him. And he looked so familiar. And I went over and I said, "Are you Bob King?" He said, "Yes, I am." Well, Bob King was my mentor in Madisonville when I was building a church, changing the movement from a walk to Emmaus to the great banquet and all that. And he stood beside me for about 15 years and was my mentor, the guy I bounced stuff off of. He left in 96. I never know what happened. I thought he was dead. And I come to Virginia, Harrisonburg, Virginia, and right next door, he's in the apartment right next to Berta's aunt. And I said, "Oh, my God. What are the chances?" And he said, 3 billion to 1. I agree with him. Was that a chance happening? I don't think so. I don't know if it was for him, or whether it was for me, or both of us. But that's God playing with the deck, boys and girls. That's God playing with the deck. Now, the Lord is trying to say, wait a minute, nothing just happens to you. Those things that alert your attention are my spirit. There are times where we, quote, chance upon something or someone that it was an unplanned contact. And sometimes a very strange contact, like I had a couple of weeks ago. We need to begin to recognize those events, things, people, as times that God has destined for us to encounter so that we might pray about that situation, person, circumstance, or be a prayer in that situation. Now, you might want to reverse and look back at some time or point in your life where you know there was a person in your life who was literally a prayer sent to you from God. An answered prayer. And now I want to turn it around because this church is very involved in doing things. We do the great banquet here. And if you haven't been, here's your call to go. You can take that from God. I'm just his agent. You need to go to the great banquet because it'll be helpful for your life. But anybody here ever gone to prison? Please stand to serve down there. I'm not talking about going to prison. Okay, all these people have been to prison. Anybody here been to Jamaica? Anybody still standing? There's some go to Jamaica. How about New Albany? Anyone? Fort Myers, Florida, to Cuesta, Florida. Anybody go to New Mexico here? A lot of you have been to these places. Please be seated. Now, anybody going to Boston in a couple of months? Please stand. Up there. Three of you are going to Boston in a couple of months. I was just in Boston this past week. I was an answered prayer to those people because they were floundering around and they thought they were out there all by themselves. And I came in like the prophet Amos and I blew in, blew off, and blew out. And they all felt really good. God is here. We can get this done now. Think of the number of times in the course of the day that there are some things that just signal you. You know, you just stop for a minute looking at a picture in a magazine. Somebody comes to your mind, or we see somebody in that magazine that you think looks like so-and-so, so we just let it go as meaning nothing. I wonder if it is possible that the Lord is saying, I want you to think about so-and-so, and I want you to pray about so-and-so. You may think, well, Jack, are you trying to fill every situation with a sense of destiny and purpose? Yes, I am. I am unequivocally saying that. Either everything has meaning or nothing has meaning. Uncategorically. You go back and you decide, well, you know, I was just thumbing through a magazine. Really? So, well, who have you got given your life to? Jesus. I was just thumbing through a magazine. But nothing, folks. Either everything has meaning or nothing has meaning. Isn't it possible that there is destiny and purpose in every situation? Some we know about and some we don't know about. And yes, it is possible. According to Scripture, it is not only just possible and probable, it is a fact. The Lord covers His hands with His children who are like arrows, and He points them at the mark, and He says, you're going to deal with this or that, and He fires us off into that life situation like a lightning bolt. And that's how it happens, praying without ceasing. Praying constantly, mostly being sensitive to the situation that the Lord brings us to or someone He brings to our mind. I began thinking of all the ways that we could become vulnerable to praying constantly. When you think of anybody, when somebody comes to mind, you can pray for them real quick. You don't have to have a long launched prayer. Shoot a javelin prayer. That's what I use a lot of times. I say, hey, Lord, what's going on? I'm praying for this person. Lord, I just thought of somebody. You know, I lift them up to you right now in prayer. And then you let the Holy Spirit take care of it and guide that prayer. You know, while you are thinking about them, you can talk to God about what or whom you're thinking about. You can also say, you know, Lord, I thank you for this person or these people. Well, let's turn it to the other side of the coin, because some of us have this. Think of somebody that's really giving you a bad time. Well, I mean, you know, makes life miserable. Instead of giving place to either the disturbance that goes on inside of you, this discomfort, the irritation, the bitterness, hostility, or even hate, pray. Lord, it really hurts me when I think about them, and I've got to tell you, oh God, that I'm finding myself not liking them at all, and I know that it is not right, and Lord, I want you to help me, and you keep it up in front of the Lord and begin to pray about it. When news items come, you know, that touch our hearts, you can pray for that situation. We can take every signal and we get and turn it into an opportunity. Now, look, when bells and whistles and gongs start going off and sounding in your life, it's probably a good time to pay attention and pray. You pull up to a stoplight and you see somebody's name in your heart and take occasion for praying for that. When you see somebody driving down the street, you know, oh, is this an accident? No, I haven't seen them in a while. You can pray for them. God's got His hands covered with His kids. And He says, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. And He fires them off and hits the target. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we just need to be alert to what He is doing. When He calls us to be His people, my life is a prayer. I don't have a prayer life as such. My life is a prayer. How about you? Anybody serving on the great banquets this fall in this place, stand up. You may be that arrow prayer that God is sending into somebody's life. So keep it in mind that you are God's agent. If you name Jesus as your Savior and you're in the process of making the Lord of your life, pay attention. You could be that answered prayer. You can sit down now. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would help us to pay attention and be intentional in our living of these days. Help us to be alert to what you want to use us for as your people, to to be active prayers in people's lives. And I pray also that you would help us to see the things that you send our way for our life situations as well. In Jesus' name, amen.